to the first episode of Trafford Talk. I'm your host, Ollie. I'm joined by my co-host, Marnie.
Hello.
I'm also joined by James.
Hello.
We've got a guest on for the first episode. We're playing Tottenham. He's a Tottenham fan.
I am indeed.
All right. Let's start off by talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because since we've done the test episode of this podcast, Marnie, we sacked Jose off. So there goes all our talking points about Jose. We won 5-5.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I did kind of expect it.
I mean, 5-5 against teams who you would have probably beaten with Jose.
Not true. I mean, we lost to teams like Derby. We barely beat teams like... We actually lost to Newcastle away last season. I mean, there were several things that happened under Jose that didn't happen right now. I mean, I know we won 5-5. I know everyone's saying that it's clubs we should be beating, but in reality, it's not really about the clubs we've beat. It's about the manner in which we're beating them. And I think it was 12 goals in 3 games or something like that, or 4 games. It's very telling about the progression that we're making under Ole.
Well, you've got a tough run of fixtures coming up.
Yeah, and I guess that would show the true colours of our squad, but I guess we'll see.
Have you beaten anyone in the top 10? Just out of interest.
What, since Ole's been...
Yeah.
Well, you can only beat what's in front of you.
Exactly, yeah.
So, no, that's the answer.
I think Man United fans are getting a bit too excited about...
I mean, we've got you this weekend, so I guess we'll see what happens with that.
That's a real test.
I guess it is. I mean, if Ole does go out and beat Spurs and beat Pochettino, I mean, that could be throwing the Pochettino to United train off the wagon, if you ask me.
I don't think he'll get Pochettino. Because I saw an article yesterday, and it said that he wanted to manage Tottenham for the next 20 years. So,
I mean, of course he's going to say that, but it doesn't actually mean that.
Yeah, the guy's obviously been told by the Tottenham board. Levy's called him up and obviously said, "Oh, you've got to address this. You've got to say you want to stay at Tottenham or something."
If he was leaving, he wouldn't make such a drastic, like, 20 years claim. He'd just be like, "Yeah, I'm happy at the moment." Like, he'd just say something like that. He wouldn't.
Yeah, but he also said, if we want to win titles, we have to operate in a different way.
Yeah, he's basically saying we need Levy to spend money.
And that's not going to be possible now, is it, considering the amount of debt you guys are going to be in?
How? Because we've not...
New stadium.
We've not spent for the last like 6 years on transfers.
Yeah, but that was the stadium in mind. And now you've got it. You've got to pay back the money that you've borrowed.
But our owner, Joe Lewis, is worth like $6 million. So
yeah,
the money
matter.
Is actually there.
He's not going to come out of his own pocket to pay for transfer.
Well, if he wants to show that he wants the club to progress,
that's what he's got to do. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Also, Levy's running your club and the guy's quite stingy, so I don't see him
guy,
talking anyhow.
You say stingy, but he just runs like a tight ship.
Yeah, he runs it really well, but...
Like, brings young players through.
He runs it well until he's getting bullied for $25 million from Alderweireld in the summer. You should have sold him to us when he had the chance, getting $50 million.
Yeah, we had no replacements. We needed him. Like, he's been useful this season.
I guess, but in that window where you could have sold him to us, you could have got a replacement in that window.
Did you buy Sanchez, though?
We bought Sanchez, like, that summer, and then he started acting funny, like, around January about his contract.
Oh, right, okay.
So, like, the second half of last season, he didn't really play, but now, this season, he's played. He's featured.
Levy runs the club well, right? But if you want to be a top club and you want to compete for trophies and stuff, surely you've got to pay your best players. Like, he's a bit too stingy on the wage. Like, talk of Eriksen leaving because he won't get paid.
No, but you say if you want to compete, we're third in the league. We're almost in the final.
Kind of a figurative position because we all know you're not going to win the league. So, I mean, it's kind of like you're just...
Yeah, but you could say that Man United play their play. You pay Sanchez 300k a week. What are you challenging for?
I mean, the thing top is, four. You're able to do that without taking any real hit.
Yeah, but you're challenging for top four.
I mean, we're only challenging for top four because of the blunder Mourinho has made. Any other coach would have been challenging for the league in this position.
No, I don't think your squad is as good as Liverpool and City's.
Yeah, but I mean, City had the best squad in the league when Pep came, and they've bought 4 defenders and how many midfielders, and like they've just reinforced like crazy. Liverpool as well. Klopp's done a really good job, but. Jose spent $400 million, and it's really
I'd
his
say
fault.
Tottenham's squad is arguably stronger than United's on paper.
I don't think so.
I do.
I mean, we have a good replacement for almost every single position. Almost every single position.
What? Who's your striker?
Lukaku.
Yeah, he's not even good enough. He's like
I mean, Rashford's our main striker now under Ollie.
Rashford's our main striker now, but I guess we'll see with Lukaku. I mean, he's come on twice and scored twice. I mean, this could be a turning point for him.
He also scored in the Reading game. He started. So in one start and two sub appearances, he's got three goals.
So you're saying Rashford is like your main striker?
He is playing the main striker up front. If he wasn't, he's going to start against Tottenham, because if he wasn't going to start against Tottenham, he would have started against Reading Lukaku would have been rested. But because since Lukaku's started against Reading, obviously Rashford's going to start against Tottenham on the weekend.
I mean, for a club of your size, like him up front, he's a good player, young player, but like compared to, you've had like Rooney, Van Persie, Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, but it's the United way. If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah.
An example of that is you have Harry Kane, who his first season, he wasn't a big name, but he was bagging him in. I don't really care about the big name. Like, if he's playing well and he's scoring goals and getting assists.
He only got his chance because he had Colorado.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. If Rashford's doing the job, why should he get punished and take his spot?
How many goals has he got this season?
In our last five games, he scored four goals. I mean, why should he get dropped?
He's got a good few assists in there
Do you think he'll keep that up until the end of the season against scoring in big games?
I don't expect him to. He's only 21.
When he burst onto the scene, Rashford, all he did was score against big teams. So it's not like he can't score against big teams.
And it's not like he has to do it all himself as well. He has good backup in Martial and Pogba at the moment as well, doing really well. Honestly, I think the problem with United right now is just the right side. It's either Mata or Lingard, and we don't really have a consistent starter there.
Yeah, because, I mean, Lingard plays well under Ollie. He plays well on the right, but he's not a natural right winger.
Yeah, any right winger you have comes inside.
So I don't think Lingard's good enough to start for you. I think you should be on the bench.
He's a good, he's a good squad player, though. I like him.
Ooh,
he does well when he plays.
There seems to be this thing where like people act like Lingard is like young and he's got potential, but he's actually like 26.
Yeah.
He's the same age as Ericsson.
I think it's like...
Like when you see him, you think he's like 21, 22 for some reason.
Babyface.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree that I don't think he is good enough to start for us, but I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like we're going to get a right-sided ring anytime soon. So, I mean...
At the moment, who else we got? Matt, he's getting on a bit. It's a hot topic, hot debate if he's gonna leave or not, if we're going to keep him.
And honestly, I just don't see us getting linked to any ringers. It's a bit strange.
Well, Pulisic already went to bloody Chelsea.
Yeah, which I don't understand that transfer personally, but that's for another day.
Willian's getting on a bit.
It's the Hazard long-term replacement.
Yeah, but I don't think Hazard's going to leave anyway.
I do.
You think he's going to Madrid?
Yeah, he's 28 now. Like he wants to.
They do need someone. They do need a new main man.
I was watching him yesterday. Like every time he got the ball, like he looked up and he was just like, he was getting like frustrated.
I think the problem Chelsea have, they just don't have a striker.
Like every time he looked up, he passed it, and then like you see him, like he flail his arms up in the air, like, oh, I can't be arsed doing this anymore.
You can't really complain. The guy's won league titles there.
He looked defeated.
Conte did a good job by coming to Chelsea and winning the league, but falling out with Diego Costa and selling him is like one of the like worst things to happen for Chelsea. Yeah,
and replacing him with Morata, out of all people.
Yeah, but when he got signed, people thought he would be good.
He was good at the beginning, but
I'm saying now, like in hindsight, that he's bad. But like when he signed, people were like, "Oh, no, that's quite a good signing."
I mean, if they signed him for like 30 million, I would have understood. But they signed him for nearly £70 million. There's no way that a player that was always on the bench for Madrid should be going to Chelsea for 70 million.
Yeah, but that's just the transfer market these days.
Yeah, it is fluctuated. But I mean, you sold Dembele for like 9 mil, so you're off to China now, aren't
he? That's only because. In the summer, if he stayed till the summer, he can leave on a free, and he's not signing a new contract. So like,
yeah, silly pal. Why are you selling him? Guy was better than Pogba last season. What happened?
He's finished. His legs are gone. That's why. Last season he was like one of our best players, but he just gets injured, hamstrings constantly, injuries.
Doesn't even matter. Anyway, Winks is better than him. So
no, Winks is good, but he makes mistakes. If you watch him.
Everyone makes.
I expect the United Spurs game to be very close. I don't think it'll be a blowout in any direction.
Yeah.
It depends if Ericsson turns up.
Ericsson always turns up against United. I remember when we went to the pub last season to watch it, we literally walk in, kick off, guy scores in 10 seconds. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a joke.
He was a passenger last night. Didn't do anything.
I expect there to be a few goals in that game as well.
We got Vertonghen back, apparently.
You think he'll start?
Yeah, I think they'll start. I think they'll start like a back three. Alderweireld, Sanchez, Vertonghen, and then Trippier, Davis, like wing back.
Yeah.
Because Son's tired. Like, he's played like so many games. No, his last game is the United game, then he goes off to that Asia game thing.
That's typical.
So we're going
to
lose him.
For like why does he have to play against us?
Probably, I don't know if he'll start. To be fair, he didn't play that well against Chelsea.
Yeah, but that Chelsea game was like a... I mean, who really played well from Tottenham
no
that
one
game?
Well. It was a
Chelsea
very bad
dominating
game.
You.
You're probably the worst I've seen like us play this season.
Yeah. I mean, I thought when Harry Kane got that knock on his calf, I was kind of looking at that thinking maybe there's a possibility he may not play against us, but I guess he continued in that game.
If he gets injured now,
the heart in the mouth.
If he gets injured now, we're actually finished because Son's going off to the thing, Asia games.
Didn't Laurentius injured?
Yeah, against like Tranmere, like
found his level. Saw an interesting stat. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the first manager in top flight history since its creation in 1888 to win their first five games in all competitions by at least a 2-goal margin.
Wow.
Why do you want Pochettino then? He's so great.
No. I still want Poch in the summer. Yeah. It's a good start, but you know, as people say, it's against teams. We played, what, four teams in the bottom six?
Let's say if he gets you top four, and he wins FA Cup, like, surely he's earned the right to stay for another season.
Yeah, he probably has, but I don't think the board would see it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Isn't that unfair?
I think that United are going in the direction now where we're going to appoint a director of football, probably going to be Paul Mitchell, which is what I'm seeing. Yes, it was Southampton when Pochettino was there. So, I mean, if we get Paul Mitchell and Pochettino reunited, it could be a good few years for United.
Yeah, also, I think when they hired Ollie, I think they obviously said to him, there was obviously a conversation saying, look, this is just for the remainder of the season. And he understood that. He's come out in press conference and said, look, I know the job's just till the end of the season, but I would like to stay. So yeah. I think like everyone knows that the job is just, I think that's best case scenario, what you said. If he wins the FA Cup and he gets top four, that's like an absolutely amazing job. And then maybe there's an argument for him to stay, but realistically.
Could get him as like an assistant coach.
No, he wouldn't do that. I mean,
he's at Mold, so I think he wants to continue to be a manager now.
Yeah.
I could argue that it could be a bit of Tim Sherwood syndrome.
Not really. Tim Sherwood is a different case. Like, Solskjaer, obviously, although it was in Norway, he's won league titles as a manager. So, I mean, I wouldn't really compare him to Tim Sherwood.
He's also got relegated with Cardiff.
Yeah.
I think if he's trying to play the United way, doing that with Cardiff players is a lot harder than doing it with the squad we have now.
It's weird because when you look at him as a person, he seems quite like shy. You wouldn't think that he'll be a great manager.
Apparently he's not, you know. Apparently he has a bit of an edge on him.
Like, I feel like if Pogba and him had a disagreement, like he wouldn't be able to stand up to Pogba.
No, I don't know.
Got, like...
So stupid.
How Mourinho and Pogba got into like a spat?
Yeah.
Like, I could imagine if that happened with Ollie, like, he wouldn't be able to, like, stand up to him, but, like, he would sort of let it slide and then he might lose the dressing room.
I think if he let it slide, it's probably the smartest thing to do. You don't want to turn that guy against you. Then the man them against you. You got Martial.
To get rid of him. It's poison in the club.
I mean, I did see Pogba's brother, Matthias. He said that if you show Pogba respect, he will respect you. And, I mean, in the current environment at United, I don't think there will ever be a situation where Ole and Pogba ever butt heads. I don't think we have to worry about that scenario.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so. I think obviously he's a nice guy. Like Carrick said, like everyone's like his personality is rubbing F on everyone. Do you know what I mean? Because he's always really positive and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think a bit of positivity is probably nice for the squad after Mourinho City. You know,
I mean, absolute honestly, negativity. Like, sometimes I wish we would have got rid of Mourinho a lot sooner because. If we would have appointed, I know it didn't really work out because of timing and Ole is off in the off-season with Mulder, but if we would have gotten a caretaker manager earlier, I think we would have been a lot closer to the top four and even possibly in the top four if we would have gotten rid of Mourinho earlier.
No, but I think it was quite tactical. Like I said to you, I didn't think that we'd sack him until it was mathematically impossible for us to get the top four. But
right.
It's like if you looked at the fixtures after Liverpool, you know, the fixtures are very appetizing. Because if you think about it, if we fired him five games earlier, we have Southampton away, Arsenal at home, Fulham at home, the Valencia game, and Liverpool. Like, if you're throwing a new manager into that, those are difficult fixtures. They're a hard five fixtures. But then these last five fixtures we've had, Huddersfield at home, Bournemouth at home, Newcastle away, and Reading at home. Like, do you know what I mean? I know which fixtures I'd rather have.
Yeah, I mean, it was tactical. I mean, they could see that if we did replace manager at that specific point, they could build up a bit of momentum
going into the
actual games like PSG, Arsenal now.
Spurs. Yeah, we've got Tottenham at the weekend, which is like our first proper test.
Are you confident you'll get a result?
I actually am.
Delusional.
Because I think the difference is now we're going to get right to the point of us playing those poor quality sides. But I mean, now the way we play, we always play on the front foot and always wanting to attack. We're never sitting behind the ball, letting the opponents have possession.
You've done that against poor teams. Like a team that's got good attacking players will hurt you
our defense has been quite shaky as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that with the current style of play, we will also hurt our opponents. So I mean, we're at the point now where with Ole, we're going to try and outscore our opponents rather than trying to keep clean sheets.
Yeah, because with Mourinho, we tried a defensive footballer, but our defense was just absolutely wank. I don't know what happened. Like, we were so solid last season defensively, but then this season we just conceded every game, and we conceded in like the first 5 minutes at home all the time.
It's obvious why that happened, though. I mean, in the summer when Mourinho is just constantly berating his centre backs, saying they're not good enough and he needs another one.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's going to totally destroy the confidence of the centre backs we have at the club. It was kind of why that happened.
He bought two, so it's not like he had no budget. He was working on no budget and he had no control of transfers or anything.
I'm seeing the argument all day long, like from other United fans, saying how if he would have bought that one extra centre back, we would be in a totally different position than we are now. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
I don't think one centre back. I know Liverpool did it with Van Dijk, but I don't think buying one centre back completely reverses the fortunes of a club.
Well, speaking of transfers and buying one centre back, Koulibaly, he's been in the news a lot, being linked to United heavily. Do you think we'll get him?
No, I don't.
He's getting on, though. He's like 29, 28.
I think he's 27, but I mean, I don't think we'll get him. I think because the Napoli CEO, De Laurentiis, he wants 90 million euros for him, and I don't think we're willing to pay that much.
Yeah, but surely Koulibaly wants to get out of the club, being racially abused every week in Italy.
I guess he might, but I mean, I don't think we'll buy him.
Hmm.
I mean, I think 90 million is far too much for a centre back.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we'll pay 90 million. But to be fair, Van Dijk's
cashed out. I don't think you'd pay 90 million for him when you could get Odegaard for 25 in the summer.
Yeah, I don't want Odegaard at the moment, but I would take him. But I do think that's where United will go.
I think so. I think it's a pretty safe buy. He's Prem proven. He knows what he's doing.
He's a leader as well. You haven't really got one.
We definitely are missing like a leader at the back. Like, if you think about who's our captain, it's either Young or Valencia. And these guys are like a bit over the hill, and they're not even defenders themselves. So we don't really have anyone to like speak up and organise the back line, which is probably why we're conceding so much.
Yeah, speaking of captains, I mean, I'd like either David De Gea or Paul Pogba to be our club captain. Yeah. I don't think it should be any other person other than those two.
I don't like goalkeepers as captains, though.
Yeah, they can't really speak to people on the pitch that much.
You're a captain, a keeper.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, I think a centre-back is the best.
I agree. I think centre-backs are good.
I think the biggest character should be the captain.
I think for us at the moment, Paul Pogba should probably be our captain.
Yeah, he should.
Because he's in the centre of the field, he's playing well, do you know what I mean? He can grow into the role. Whereas like our centre-backs, I mean, the backlash the club would get if they announced Phil Jones as our new club captain, it would be laughable. That would be Jordan Henderson, captain of Liverpool, levels of laughable.
Yeah, but honestly, there's a side of me that doesn't want to see Pogba as the captain, because the guy's already scapegoated enough as just a regular player. Imagine if he was captain. I mean, we would never hear the end of like negative Pogba headlines.
Yeah, the sticker.
I don't think he can hack it, because he seems like he's quite like a moody player. Like if a game's not going well, he's sort of like, I don't know.
Thing is, like that annoys me as well. Like people always seem to think that when a game's not going well, like Pogba just hides. Like He's one of our only players that never hides. He'll always want the ball. He'll always try and, you know, get his team up and you know, try and push the team forward. But, I mean, all our other players in games that aren't going well are the ones that are performing poorly. As a collective, like, we're not playing well at all, but it's always Pogba that's singled out, and it's kind of annoying.
Do you think Pogba is singled out too much, James, as someone from the outside?
I think he is, but he sort of brings it on himself by, like, always, like, you know, he's always got, like, a change in his haircut. He's always, like, got, like, flashy boots and stuff. So, like, people think, oh, like, they'll see him go for a bad patch, but, like, he'll have, like, blue hair. And then people, like, you get people like Graham Souness who are just like, oh, like, he needs to just concentrate on his football, stop messing about with his hair and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's actually, if he was just, like, let's say, like, he just looked like Moussa Dembele, just, like, a standard guy. Like, he wouldn't get scapegoated as much.
Well, that's why he said in the World Cup, I just cut my hair into like a buzz cut, didn't dye or anything, because he said I just want people to talk about how I play football, not
yeah, that's my true. Haircut. That's what you should do.
But at the end of the day, like, the haircuts, the, like you said, the boots, everything that goes with Pogba is what makes Pogba Pogba. So I mean, you want when you get Pogba, you get the other things as well, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
But also, do you think it's a bit one-sided as well, because last season when Pogba dyed his hair before the Manchester derby, all like the headlines and all this, all the attention. But then this season, Aguero dyed his hair before the Manchester derby, and no one cared. There was like not one headline in sight.
Yeah,
because Aguero is like he's like proven as like Man City's best player from the last like 6 years. Whereas I think some people think that Pogba still got something to prove.
Pogba literally was instrumental in France winning a World Cup. I mean, it's literally not, like, he could go on and do nothing.
Yeah, that's national, though. That's
it doesn't
national.
Matter. I mean, he still contributed a lot to winning that cup. So, I mean, he could go on to do nothing in his career. At the end of the day, the guy was instrumental in his country winning the World Cup. And he was, as soon as he came back from the World Cup, it was still the same stuff that was happening just before it.
People don't like arrogant footballers, like, they want them to fail. That's what it is.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
Everyone just hates Liverpool. Like, I hate Liverpool. I'd rather we didn't win any trophies this year if it meant that they don't win the league. But I actually hate them.
I think everyone helps Liverpool because of obviously two United fan fans, a bit biased, but that like their fan base is just awful. Like
it's atrocious.
They won how many games in a row did they win? What was it 20 games? They didn't lose. They lose one game against Man City, and they're out here saying the grass was too long.
They started a petition.
Goal line technology was wrong.
Yeah, there was a petition being like redo the game or something because so of that decision with the goal line technology.
Yeah, but I saw that tweet that those Liverpool fans were retweeting about the goal line technology. They were saying, "Oh, the shadow's not over the line. Like we're not. It doesn't matter about the shadow. It's the ball.
Yeah, it's the ball.
It's so stupid.
That's like, oh, his shadow was offside. He's not offside."
Yes. Crazy margin. Apparently, it was 11 millimeters away from being a goal.
Yeah, that is nuts. I swear they would have been gifted that goal because I swear the keeper like nearly punched that in.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange scenario.
Yeah,
there were some Liverpool fans as well during the World Cup who just like refused to support England. They were supporting like Croatia,
yeah.
Like just to try and be like edgy, like just weird.
Liverpool fans are just a strange bunch, to be honest.
Also, they lose after losing one game and saying the grass was too long. They lose the next game and say there was wind.
Like, what the other team has wind as well. Like,
yeah, I don't understand that excuse. Like
they're just moaning and whining about everything. Boring.
Yeah. I did want to ask though, if Klopp does not win a trophy, let's just say for the next 2 years, do you think they'll get rid of him?
No.
I mean, why does everyone get on Tottenham's back about not winning the trophy when Liverpool haven't? Like every time Tottenham tweet, all the responses are like, "Ah, it's another trophy for you, huh?" Like Kane gets the Player of the Month. Oh, that's a trophy. Like it's boring. Right. Whereas Klopp spends millions and millions, and he's not got nothing to show for it. I think like finals that he's bottled.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it,
we get called bottlers as well.
Mourinho won the Europa League and League Cup. He won two trophies, and he got sacked. Whereas Klopp hugs his players. Basically, we sacked our manager for being more successful than Liverpool's. To be fair, saying that, it's a lot more positive for Liverpool at the moment because they look like, you know, they're challenging for the league title. So,
Yeah, you know what? You know,
we've got to humble ourselves a little bit.
Do you guys know that David Moyes' contract at United still hasn't ended?
Stuff of nightmares. Stuff of nightmares.
Would you prefer him to Mourinho though?
No. We won two trophies under Mourinho. Like, as much as I didn't like his football, and as much as him just moaning all the time was annoying, we still had a good year where we won two trophies.
Honestly, if Mourinho wasn't so egotistical, he'd still be in charge.
Yeah, if he didn't clash with Pogba in half the dressing room, yeah, he probably would.
Literally, the guy benched Pogba just to prove like his agenda. You know how crazy that is?
No, I saw something, his management style. Apparently, he said to Rashford, he was just like, oh, I'm not going to like train you like finishing, because it, as a striker, you've got it or you're not. That's what he said to Rashford. He's like, oh, finishing, you've got it or you've not got it. Like, we're going to work on something else.
Yeah, that's...
Whereas I heard, apparently, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been, like, properly, like, training Rashford for his finishing and stuff, and that's why he wanted him scoring.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, I thought it showed against... Was it Newcastle? Newcastle was the game before Reading. How, when he went on... When we had a counter-attack and he was through on goal, and outside the box, he's got a really good shot on him, but recently, inside the box, he's just been, like, bottling chances, but he actually, like, remained calm and slotted bottom right. And it's like, oh, good. The boy, it's like he's taken a leaf out of Ollie's book.
Solskjaer did say, though, that Rashford rushes too much when he's in the box.
Yeah.
And he just needs to slow down.
He did look like he slowed down and he took the advice. And to be fair, having Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a caretaker manager has got to be amazing for the strikers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but realistically, what's going to solve Lukaku's first? Any more than that.
I don't think we'll have Lukaku at the club much longer.
Do you not?
Where would he go to?
I don't... Obviously, that's...
Because who would actually want him now?
I do think that we'll look to replace him fairly soon. But it probably won't be in the next year or so.
Do you think you would take a loss on him, like transfer fee?
Oh, yeah, 100%. No one's going to buy him for more.
I mean, if Lukaku could...
I can imagine him going to Chelsea.
I was honestly about to say I could see him getting Chelsea. Yeah. You can see it, can't you? Like, they're looking for a striker.
He fits the mold.
Yeah, he does fit the mold.
It's like a big lump.
Honestly, if Lukaku could use his size effectively and had a good first touch, he'd be unstoppable.
Also,
the thing is, if Lukaku, I've noticed that, you know, when he was at Everton, he was a bit like leaner. Like, he seems to have bulked up, and now he's like he looks like clumsy now.
I think he bulked up because Mourinho wanted him as a target man, and he just doesn't suit it. Like, he's better running at people, even though he's like not amazing on the ball, like with dribbling or whatever. He's like powerful, so he was better running past people than standing there waiting to head it in. I mean,
yeah, and his pace was like a huge attribute of his, and now he barely has any.
To be fair though, the pics that United are tweeting from Dubai, it looks like Lukaku's a bit skinnier now though, or a bit leaner like than when he was under Jose. Under Jose, he was really bulky.
Yeah,
guy was looking like Cormier.
The thing with Jose is like his style was so old school, like having a huge number nine. What top clubs in Europe even do that anymore?
Yeah, all the top six all play attacking football.
Yeah,
you got to just have like an all round just like striker.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
like a Kane or like a Lewandowski.
Yeah, exactly, or like Mauro Icardi or someone like that.
Even like someone who's not all round, like Aguero. I wouldn't say he's all round because he's not like he can header, but he won't muscle anyone off. But just like someone. A striker who fits like the Aguero mold, do you know what I mean? He's fast, he's got good positioning, good finishing.
Someone who I thought would be that for us was Martial, but he's just become a left winger under us. So.
You just need a player who you know you can just like rely on them to score like that one chance they're going to get in a game.
Yeah.
Like in a big game, you're going to get one chance. Like when we get one chance and Kane's got the ball like in the box, like I know he's probably going to score.
Yeah.
Like I'm confident he'll score.
For me at United, that's Martial. It's like if he's one on one with the keeper, it's like a 90% chance to score.
Yeah,
or if we've got a penalty or something.
Yeah, penalties for us are a bit iffy, you know.
Like if Lukaku set up to take a penalty for you, like would you be confident that he'd score?
No, you know what? Against Reading, I was at the game. We got the pen. It was a VIR one, like against like with Tottenham Chelsea. Lukaku was holding the ball until we got the decision, and when we got the decision, Mata took the ball off him and put it in the back of the net. And I was a lot more happy with Mata taking the ball off him, with Mata stepping up, than Lukaku, which is a bit worrying.
That's not a good sign for your like main striker.
Yeah, I know.
He's not really our main striker anymore, though.
He got Rashford now, mate. It's calm. let's talk about the upcoming Tottenham game on Sunday. James, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to go for a 2-1 Tottenham.
Interesting.
Chorus.
I'm going to go for a Dele Alli header and a, just like a Kane goal.
Kane never really scores against us, to be honest.
Yeah, the guy goes missing against United. He's never scored against United, has he, ever?
No, he's scored against every team that's ever been in the Prem. He's faced.
Has he scored against United once then?
He scored against every team he's faced in the Prem.
I think he scored against us at Wild Lane like 3 years ago.
Oh, maybe.
I remember when we dismantled you like bad, like Lamella scored. It was like 3-0.
I prefer not to speak.
The guy's actually like, he's like a mental, he's actually mental. Like the guy, he'll miss a game because he's ill. Like he'll be, like he'll have like a cold. But then when he comes on, he literally runs around like a psycho. Like he came on yesterday, first thing he done, he literally just chopped Hazard from behind and got a yellow card. And then like shoved him.
Yeah, it's passion.
But then he'll miss a game because he's got like a cold. I don't understand.
I love it. I'm in. Scoreline prediction. What are you going with?
I'm not going to be political here, so I'm going to go 2-1 United. I was going to go for a draw, but what fun would that be? I'm going to go for 2-1 win United.
It's at Wembley, isn't it? So Tottenham are technically at home.
Yeah, technically. But I mean, we beat them at Wembley in the FA Cup last season. So I mean,
that's true. Also, Jesse Lingard loves Wembley. This season.
Yeah, I mean, I think like we have the momentum as well. I mean, I'm expecting us to come out of the gates very quick and probably score very early.
But I think if you do that, then you might get a shock. Like you're playing a team that can actually hurt you on the break.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I think this could actually excitingly be a high scoring game. I think it could be like 2 or 3-1 either way. Really, I don't know.
It's gonna be an open game, I think.
Yeah, and that's good.
I think he'll score.
Let's hope so. He's on my dream team. But so is Kane as well, so it's conflicting.
I can see a 1-1.
Yeah, I can see that as well. I do think, though, this game will be the first time that Solskjaer changes his formation from 4-2-3-1 to probably 4-3-3.
We've been playing a 4-3-3 recently. We've been having Eriksen as like a deep-lying playmaker. Like, we used to have like Modric. And then we have Sissoko, who for some reason is like playing like his best football of his life right now. He's actually one of our best players.
The only problem that I can see like for Tottenham is that we've got no defensive midfielders. Like, and I was watching, like Hazard kept dropping deep to get the ball and like he was literally just running past Winks, like he was not there. Like they literally couldn't stop him. And I'm thinking if Pogba is in the middle of the park, like getting the ball, we've not really got a midfielder to deal with him. Like, because Winks, he's not really defensive. Sissoko, he just sort of, he's in more of a box-to-box. And then obviously Eriksen can't really defend.
Funnily enough, I think Dembele was your strongest player against Pogba because he's kind of got the size and like he's got a bit of strength, got something about him, do you know what I mean? Physically.
Sissoko's got that, but he's defensively, like he's not as good.
Yeah.
I do think that if Pogba is playing number 10, I think Sanchez will come in to the middle for winter to go against Pogba in the duels. I think that we'll see that happen.
Yeah, I think
if I was
especially
United,
if you try to beat Tottenham's press by going up to Pogba, because it's unlikely Lukaku will play, and so Pogba will be our focal point. And if we go over the top, I think Sanchez will come from the back to try and win those duels against Pogba.
If I was United, I'd focus on Kieran Trippier. He's been our weak link like the last 2 months.
Yeah, but you've been playing Aurier and stuff, and what's that other guy called? Sorry, that other right back,
Walker Peters.
He is decent. Trippier has been playing badly. Like defensively, he can't defend. Like, I don't feel comfortable when he plays in a back four, in a back three as a wing back. Like he's fine, like for England, playing in that position. When he's got no defensive duties, then he's good. But when if you're relying on him, like at right back, he just goes forward and then he just leaves gap.
Yeah, well, I'm nervous about our whole right side of our defense, right centre back and right back. Whoever we play, then no matter what, it's just an issue every single time.
Yeah,
our left side's pretty sorted with Lindelof and Shaw. But our right side is always being chopped and changed, and it's kind of annoying.
I think Bailly's amazing. He's like physically, guy's an absolute monster. But he just needs raid in him being rash challenges. He just flies in like non-stop. Like for example, the other day we were up, what was it, 2 or 3-0? The guy's at the halfway line, two-footing someone, gets sent off. It's like, why do you even need to do that?
I mean, he's lucky he's only 23 because the things he's doing, I think he just needs to improve his all-round intelligence. Like, especially when reading the game. He does some things that sometimes you see him, you see him doing something special, and then 1 minute later, he's karate kicking someone in the head.
I mean, he's an absolute fan favourite, though. What a crazy guy. Right, now it's time for the 30-second debate. This is the game where two contestants will have 30 seconds each to give their argument on a certain topic, and you decide the winner. Today, the topic of discussion is if Pochettino will stay at Tottenham or leave in the summer. As a Tottenham fan, James will be arguing why Pochettino would stay, which means that Marnie will be arguing why Pochettino would leave. James will be going first, so when you're ready, mate.
Well, basically, we've got a brand new stadium, probably the best, one of the best stadiums in the world, is almost built. Why would you leave now when you're literally on the cusp of moving in? Secondly, he's literally building, like, he's building something at the club. Like, he's got young players. He's, the last 5 years, he's spent, like, making that team what it is. Why would you leave now? And then, obviously, why would you go to Man United? Like, they've fired, like, most of their managers in the last 10 years. Like, he might just become one of those, another one of those names.
Wow, that's 30 seconds. That was good. All right, Amin, are you ready?
Yep.
Marnie's going to be arguing for why Pochettino will leave Tottenham in the summer and, I assume, come to United.
Yeah, okay. So my first point is that I think he'll have a lot more money to spend than he currently has at Spurs, and I think he can get players that he wants to get. I also think that the stature of United in general, I think is, we're a much bigger club than Spurs, and I think that he's attracted to something like that. I also want to make the point that he met with Sir Alex like 2 years ago, I think, about the possibility of possibly becoming a United manager. And also, I think his style of play and his overall philosophy matches United quite well, and I do think that he's a perfect fit.
Look at that. A couple of seconds to spare as well. Right, that was the 30-second debate. Who won it? You decide. I'll include a straw poll in the description below, so go ahead and vote for who you want, and I guess we'll check next episode to see who won. If James won, you're not going to be here next week, so Marnie will just tell you he won anyway. yeah, so go and vote. Right, just before we wrap up the podcast, you guys want to talk about Poch possibly leaving in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I do think if it's not this summer, it will be next summer. And it might not necessarily be to United. I do think if Madrid don't persist with Solari, I think it's very, very possible that they turn to Pochettino. So, I mean, Spurs don't only have to worry about us. They have to worry about Real Madrid as well. I mean, it's all about him progressing in his own personal career, because I honestly think United or Real Madrid is the next logical step for him.
Yeah, but it's a risk going to United. Look how many good managers, like credible managers, have gone there and just ruined their reputation.
Of course it's a risk.
Van Gaal.
He'll probably think that it's something that he can do.
Van Gaal is now known for a gif of him like falling over, not as a good manager. Mourinho is just now known just like a screw loose. Like United actually ruins managers.
Managing United is a really exciting prospect for any manager.
It's always United. It always seems like, oh, United are just getting rid of managers, left, right, centre. But I think that, honestly, the last few managers we've had, starting from Moyes, they haven't fit United, really. They haven't fit them at all. And Pochettino is the first person that we're linked to who I could comfortably say fits United. So I do think if he does come, and with a whole new restructuring of the club with sporting director and the way we're moving, I do think that it's only up from this point. And I think Pochettino will see the project that we're going through right now. And I think he'll want to join us.
Yeah, but you've tarnished the reputation of every manager you've had since Ferguson.
I don't think.
Yeah, like, I get that.
I don't know if it's tarnished or if they just haven't done a job that's lived up to the expectations of United.
Yeah.
United's like a step up from it, like pretty much everywhere. Unless you're moving from Barcelona or Real Madrid to United, United's a step up expectation wise. No, but City were established in 2008. They've been around 10 years, mate.
I mean, what grinds my gears is that we could have had Pep Guardiola, but we went for Moyes instead, which blows my mind.
I mean, it's not the like where people are in the league or like how we're doing now. It's the club overall, like the level of the club.
Yeah. Like, United will always be bigger than Spurs, no matter what happens.
It's not even Spurs. It's just like the other ones. Like Man City could win the title 2 times in the next 4 years. We'll still be a bigger club than them.
Yeah.
Until they overtake us, until they win 15 more titles, do you know what I mean? They'll always be a big club with more history.
I think it's just a matter of time before we're back, honestly. I know we've been saying this loads of times. I know we said it when Mourinho came. But I do think that in our current direction, I think it's just a matter of time before we're back at the top.
Right. Thanks a lot for joining us for the first episode of Trafford Talk. Do you guys want to plug your Twitters or something?
Not really. I don't really tweet anything.
I don't do it either.
Yeah, follow me in the description down below.
I'll put your
Twitter. You can see Marnie's updates of Rashford, Capitals, every time they score.
It's truly quality content.
Thanks for listening to the first episode of Trafford Talk. Join us next week when we reflect on the Tottenham game and look ahead to Man United versus Brighton. Check out our Twitters in the description below and don't forget to vote for who you thought won the 30-second debate. See you next week. Going on up to the spirit sky.